Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Jim Ballard's here. Jim's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going back to the previous century, the last millennia, 1999. He's coming up on 17 years. He's a member of our Brain Trust. How about that? Hey, Jim, welcome back.
Last century, last millennia.
That's right.
You that's go
all
pretty
the,
good.
All the way back. Jim is the author, folks, of a number of books. Most of them are my favorites. What's the Rush? Mind Like Water. Well Done. And, of course, don't forget Little Wave and Old Swell. That's still one of my favorites, Jim. But I still go back to the original one that I first met you with, What's the Rush? That's still a book that I count on and call on from time to time.
You know the Little Wave book, which is a fable and really is for children in bereavement, is really fits in with what we are going to talk about today, Jim, because it's a story of a wave, sort of like each one of us is a wave on the ocean of God. Mm-hmm. And this wave tries to, get ahead of other waves and so on, like waves are not supposed to do. And then he gets real scared because he sees the beach coming up and he doesn't know what to do with that. So the idea of his having a mentor, Old Swell, who helps him to, break on the beach and go back to the ocean, that's a comfort to people when they read that story. And I would like to start by just talking about 15 years that I've had as a hospice worker, because I saw so many families where death was something they had been denying so long that when it came time, they were really lost as to what to do about their loved ones passing. The long-time traditional method of a family's dealing with an aging elder facing death is avoidance, not to face it. And in the West, we no longer remember how to die with grace and dignity. We shuttle our dying ones off to hospitals where death is considered a disease and everything is used to prolong life. And families don't know how to come to closure with the passing of a loved one.
Having dealt with my dad 12 years ago a couple of years before he died, and then my mother, 4.5 years before she died, I was very much involved in their care and all that.
I know.
One of the things that I learned, Jim, was that you may live with dignity, but you may not die with dignity. It's a tough scenario, and it's hard on everybody to make that happen, isn't it?
Well, let's talk about that, because what we need to remember is that so many people die in fear and with unresolved issues, and they haven't had a chance really or been invited to say the I love yous and I forgive yous that would be so healing for them and their families. And so this is about not trying to make death invisible anymore and thinking if we ignore it long enough it'll go away.
Why don't we like to talk about this, Jim?
Well, I'd rather spend the time on what I call conscious dying, because I have a wonderful story about that, Jim.
All right.
And it's about Barbara's, my wife's mother, Edith. And Edith died about 4 years ago, and she's a wonderful person. And as she was going down in the end, she had a fall. And so often after that, with an elderly person, it's sort of one thing
after
another.
Uh-huh.
And she was just very bright with all of us, and she talked about her death. And she invited us to talk about it, Barbara and I had been working with the elderly for years, and so we were invited into this, and it was a wonderful event. I mean, Edith sat down with me one day, and she said, I want you to write down what I call what I leave behind. And so he made a list of her things she was proud of, her values, and what she thought she'd made a difference in the world. And she felt good about that. We handed that out to people who came, you know, after her dying. And she, we were very conscious, all of us, about this. I remember her saying at one point, this is taking too long. And it wasn't that she was in pain. Mm-hmm. She just was ready, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And conscious dying means that we seek to maintain consciousness intact through the journey of death. And it really offers a message of hope that it's possible to bring that dignity and peace. The history of the conscious dying movement is it began about 30 years ago, and the nowadays organizations such as hospice, and there's a, something called the Conscious Death Institute, they help family members learn to steward a conscious death.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a conscious death? A death that is guided by the wishes and choices of patients. And they
some people might ask, does this have anything to do with euthanasia or with palliative care?
With palliative care it definitely does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, my wife's sister is a social worker in palliative care, and more this is happening. The conscious death is taking over, and as a society, we're starting to, you know, we're ever since Tuesdays with Maury, so many books are coming out with about the dying process, and so many movies and so on, so that people are relaxing a little bit more, and these new generations, I think, are going to be ready for this conscious dying approach. And what does it do for us? It furthers the comfort and the spiritual legacy of the dying person. It opens up intra-family communication and heals relationships. You know, a lot of times people get together, siblings, for the first time around a dying parent. There's a sharing of spiritual beliefs, and it teaches us all how to die, how to do it. And Edith's story is just one of many that I know about.
Well, one of the things that I can say is that I see a lot of people. I saw a lot of people when I was dealing with my parents, where I felt like when it was all over, there was a great emptiness there because they had not prepared for it.
Sure,
there was a great emptiness even after the funeral. Even, you know, because everything wasn't said afterwards. I'm going to talk about that. Saying things, getting things out before, folks, instead of after. I think that's a big deal. 20 after. Right back with Jim Ballard. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
How long has it been?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.